Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Random Heathen Ramblings podcast, where we discuss all sorts of things Germanic heathenry related. My name is Jesse. I am your host. Let's get into it.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, hail, and hello, everybody. Thank you for coming back here this week and rambling on with me just for a bit, rambling your own thoughts, I hope, down in the comments or through any of my social media posts, wherever you're able to comment. Special thanks to all of my patrons on Patreon, especially those of you who have gone above and beyond the initial entry fee, as it were, the initial pledge of just a dollar to get into the video format viewing of the podcast. So a special thanks to all of my Jarl, Chieftain, Scald, and Aesir patrons. You're going above and beyond type of support is greatly appreciated. And if you guys are listening and wondering what we're talking about with that, just head over to patreon.com/MidgardMusings. The link is going to be into the show notes of this podcast in that Linktree link that you'll see there. Just find the link that takes you to my Patreon. And if you want to watch these episodes, all you got to do is pledge your support for a dollar. But if you're wanting any of the extra perks that come with being a patron on Patreon, you can go down through the list and see what I offer. It's all laid out plainly there. So yeah, check it all out and see what fits you. So today's episode is going to be on kind of the historical background of what we as Germanic heathens, Norse pagans, et cetera, refer to as Winter Nights. And there's a few different names that it's known by, but, you know, Veturnetter is one of them. And I wanted to talk about it this week. I know a lot of different heathen content creators out there in the internets are recently starting to share information about things pertaining to this time of year, Winter Nights, of course, being one of them. If you're into any other sort of Celtic or Wiccan, even pagan practices, I'm sure you'll have been seeing a lot of posts and videos and clips and things about Samhain, which is another one that's right around the corner. Alferblot is probably another one that if you're of the Germanic heathen persuasion, you will have seen, no doubt, information circulate around that if you're following any of those types of content creators. So I do just want to take time this week and share with you some information that maybe you already know, but especially for those who maybe are hearing about this for the first time, there's some you know, new knowledge that we can share with you all. So Winter Nights is at the time that this podcast is released for all of you folks on the audio platforms and for my patrons on Patreon. We are two nights away from the start of Winter Nights, the Germanic Winter Nights as reckoned in pre-Christian times. And it's a three-day long celebration. It's mentioned in several sources of it being three nights, like many of the other, you know, pagan celebrations of the Germanic peoples. And we're going to touch on some of those sources here today on this episode, so you guys have some source material that you can go back and, you know, research yourselves. But I'll be sharing some things here on the screen and you know, for those of you that are watching, you'll have some visual things that you can glean from and stuff as well. But for all of you those that are listening, I will be sharing some links in the show notes of the names of the sagas that I'm referring to or the poems that I'm going to be mentioning, as well as any hyperlinked material that I can direct you to check out of your own accord and at your leisure. Okay. So, like I mentioned, it is a 3-night-long celebration or 3-days-long celebration. And it starts on this year on the Haustmonadr moon. So we are in the month of Haustmonadr, and the harvest moon, the full moon of Haustmonadr, is this year, October 28th. So for me and my tribe, we will have a night of ritual and feasting with our nearest and dearest, our tribe members, and some folks who are not sworn or oathed to Hrithi folk, but that are nonetheless very, very close friends to our tribe. And so we've invited some folks like that to our celebration this year. And our tribe's custom is to follow a sort of, I guess you could say, very similar to the Swedish model of winter nights, at least to the degree that we know of in one particular source. I'm going to be getting to all that stuff, specifically around when the Swedes would celebrate their Alfarblot. So we're going to be getting into that. But it is a day or a time of the year, you know, a night, and it is considered a holy tide. We're welcoming in, even though this time of year in the south, where I live in Tennessee, you know, we're still getting temperatures during the day in the 70s, even the 80s. You know, it's not getting exceptionally cold at night, you know, maybe down in the, you know, 50s and 40s overnight, some of these nights here recently. But by the Germanic people's reckoning, right, this celebration, this holy tide, was the turning of the summer toward winter. Okay, so what we look at this time of year being is the oncoming of course, longer nights, shorter days, right? Daylight is going to become less frequent, and, or, you know, we're gonna have, again, longer nights, shorter days, but also a time of year to reflect inward and prepare for those dark days. And when we think about coming inward, and when we think about focusing on our inner yards, our hearths, our homes, you can't help but to put focus on your family and ancestors and that sort of thing. So while ancestor veneration and, you know, all of that is a integral part of many heathen practices, it is especially vibrant this time of year when we remember and honor our departed dead, you know. If you're a Germanic pagan and you're thinking of observing something around this time of year for your ancestors, you're right in line with a lot of other folks. So I'm going to be sharing some stuff here again to kind of educate, clarify on some things that we know of from historical sources, okay? The first one being that, you know, the... sorry, I'm going to just read some of these notes here. The dating of Norse/Germanic heathen holidays, they were on full moons, okay? Not on equinoxes, not on solstices. When the Germanic peoples would celebrate their holy tides was not done on the solstices, was not done on equinoxes. It was done on full moons. They reckoned time using a lunisolar calendar. Dr. Andreas Nordberg, I'll be linking some stuff of his, very critical reading. If you're trying to reinvent or reconstruct a bit, when you want to hold your celebrations, if you are a, you know, practicing Germanic heathen and you want to kind of follow the more historical route of things rather than following this very modern, very popular Wiccan Wheel of the Year model, right? But Dr. Andreas Nordberg is a leading authority on when Germanic people were reckoning their time and when they would hold their holy tide specifically. So check the show notes, or if you're watching this, you know, down in the comments description area for links to his work. It is in Swedish. So what you'll have to do is, unless you read and understand Swedish, you'll have to use like a translator. Google Translate, whatever works fairly well for stuff like this. And but it's free. It's a free PDF that you'll be able to get. So for a little work in getting it translated to your native language, it's worth it. You know, so it's important to remember that, right? We are talking about holy tides being observed on full moons. So that's one important thing to take away. The other one to take away is that the historical Germanic heathen holy tides, there were three of them. Three major bloats per year, that, as they reckon time. So those three major holy tides, those three bloats, there were three bloats held at those holy tides, were held for three nights in duration. Those three being winter nights, Yule, and Sigerbloat. So your winter night celebration is the start of winter, and I believe there are it is suggested that specifically for the Swedes in Scandinavia, when winter nights came about, it was considered their new year, the when the new year started. And then midwinter was Yule, and summer victory bloat, summer bloat was Sigur bloat. So you had a bloat to celebrate for good blessings and good tidings for the winter months. You had a bloat in the middle of that, and then you had a bloat at the beginning of summer to celebrate victory and welcoming in the time of year when you could do all the things that kept you alive, right? You could start raising your cattle and bringing your crops, you know, planting your crops and doing all of those things that you had to do to survive that time in the north. So, you know, once again, I'm in the south. I'm in the south of the United States. I'm in a southern state. And, you know, for when I think of, you know, celebrating winter nights, you know, it would be great to have, you know, cold weather and, you know, snow maybe on the ground, or at least frost and all of those types of things that make you think of coming of winter. But as it stands this year, we're still going to be doing our bloat, our ceremony, our ritual for winter nights. And it's going to be warm. It's going to feel like an Indian summer day. So, you know, the way the world is and the way the world is and the way the weather goes, I mean, we take what we can get, right? My tribe's tradition is to hold our holy tides and to keep our holy days as close to the full moon that holy day would have landed on in historic times. So luckily this year, you know, the 28th of October lands on a day where all of us can gather without worrying about, you know, work obligations or any other conflicts, you know. So that's pretty cool. All right, so there's a couple of things just really briefly that if you hadn't known, now you do. And I do just want to kind of cover some sources that talk about what we know of, at least winter nights having three nights, because these next couple of sources talk about something happening on the third winter night, okay? The first one being the Jomsviking saga. It references the third winter night with a quote. I'll read it in full. What you see and what you hear, or at least what you see on screen is going to be partial, but I'm going to be linking again more information down in their description, show notes for it. But in the Jomsviking saga, we hear a quote, and it says, "I swear that before the third winter night is past, I shall drive Aðarlod, king of England, from his kingdom, or kill him otherwise, and so gain possession of his domain. Now it's your turn, Sigvaldi, and let your vow be as far-reaching as mine." He said that so it should be. "Your majesty, I swear," he said, "that before the third winter night has passed, I shall ravage Norway with as many men as I can assemble and drive Earl Haakon out of the land or kill him, or else my lifeless body will remain in Norway." So there's one mention that winter nights is 3 days. So we hear the speaker saying that on the third winter night. Traditionally, I believe we've come to understand that the bloat day or bloat night, when bloat was done on the first night of the three nights of the celebration. So on the first night of the full moon cycle. So that first night when it's a full moon, that's when bloat was done, and then the celebrations carried on for 3 days in total. All right, so there's one piece of material from a source that gives you that clue. The next one is going to be from the Valaljots saga. And I'm just going to read the English portion, but I'll also put in the Old Norse version as well. But this is Gudmundur saying, "Well, I see that you pretend to have played well, and yet I have the courage to say that red will be seen in the score for the third winter night." So there you go, another mention of something happening on night three of winter nights, okay? So there's some clues, some source material that, again, gives you, historical backing on there being three nights in total. All right, so the next thing I'm going to go over is some things very specific to the Swedes. And as I mentioned before, Norse/Germanic heathens, holy tides were 3 days long, three nights long. And the three major holy tides we have as examples of it being as such. So one interesting thing to note is that the Swedes specifically had three major holidays that were publicly held at Uppsala, Old Uppsala. Now, there is a poem that I'm going to be sharing. It's a skaldic poem, and if I'm mispronouncing it for any of you scholars out there, I apologize, but as best of my pronunciation, it's called Austerforavisur. This is a skaldic poem that clearly states that the Swedish celebration that was called Alfablot was a family-only ritual that was done at the homestead, and no non-family members were invited. So, if you were not part of the family, if you were not part of that sib, if you were not part of that clan, etc., or at least a very, very close friend, you were excluded from it. And I'm going to be reading a blurb from that poem here in just a minute to kind of help back up what I'm saying. All right. There's that one. Let's see here. What am I going to be looking at? Okay. Yeah. So this next one is going to be from a saga called Vigaglum's Saga. Now, this is specific to Icelandic traditions. And it says that at the start of winter, a sumbl was prepared and a disablot, in which observance all were expected to take part. But Glum sat in his place and did not attend it. So, what's interesting to note about this is that passage that mentions the at the start of winter, right? So winter nights was the start of winter. There was a sumbl that was prepared. Sumbl being a sort of drinking ritual. But that there was a disablot done at the same time. So what's interesting is that at least in Iceland, there was a Dísablót accompanying Winter Nights, different from the Swedes who held an Alfablót at the onset of winter, at the beginning of winter, for their Winter Nights. Now, I know there's some confusion with some heathens as to when to celebrate these things, right? People think that, well, I need to celebrate Alfablót in the fall, you know, or at Winter Nights. And then I celebrate Dísablót in the spring or summer. But then there's others that are like, well, no, you can celebrate Dísablót at the onset of winter too. So notice that Dísablót, at least for the Icelanders, was done during their Winter Nights celebration, during the oncoming of winter. It kind of aligns with, in a bit of a way, with how the Saxons, or how Bede, I guess, the Venerable Bede documents how the Anglo-Saxon heathens celebrated certain things, where they had a Mother's Night celebration. And of course, Dísablót means a bloat to the Dísir, you know, Dísir being the female ancestors of the family. Alfablót meaning elf, but also the male ancestors. So interesting, right? There were definitely things pertaining to familial reverence of ancestors, whether it was feminine ancestors or masculine ancestors, what have you. Things varied a little bit different in certain regions, as we can see. But clearly, Winter Nights was a time where varying traditions were held to celebrate the ancestors. So in keeping that in mind, you know, whatever you want to do around this time of year is really going to be how specific do you want to get in what model of healing? Are you looking at a more Swedish model? Maybe you're Swedish yourself. Maybe that your ancestry has Swedish ties. Maybe you're leaning more into the Icelandic model. And so you would do like a Dísablót or have like a Mother's Night sort of celebration. And there's, you know, you could do either or. It's clearly not right or wrong in that context. It's just how it was done based on where it was done, right? So that covers that part. Let's see here. Is it this one? What am I looking for? Let me just get some of my notes pulled up here. I'm on one screen and it's a little... Oh, yeah. So this one here, right? This again confirms that it was on the full moon of the Haustmonadr, so the harvest moon. And in Anglo-Saxon Winterfeith, right, for the Angles, for the English heathens, there was bloat and sumble. It's still Winter Nights, right? Depending on whether you're Anglo-Saxon or Saxon heathen, or whether you're Scandinavian heathen, different name, pronunciation, whatever for it, but it all means the same thing, and it's on the harvest moon when it's done. So I've made comments on some other people's posts like a month or two ago where they were calling their harvest celebration at like the end of August or beginning of September or whenever it was, how they were calling it Winter Nights, you know. And I, with nothing but the you know, intention of educating, just shared that basic information, a lot of what I'm sharing here right now. I learned, you know, that I had no place doing that. Go figure that, you know, people can take things said online, you know, under different contexts, and it made it, you know, what I had said made it was perceived to be kind of condescending. Wasn't my intent. Didn't mean for that to be that way. But it was a lesson learned to just let people do what they want to do. I'll use my platform to speak as openly and as freely as I want, and I will say what I want on my platforms. But I'm not going to go on other people's stuff and say things that they don't solicit from me. I get those two words confused a lot, and I don't know why. They obviously mean different things. Going back to it. For the Swedes, when we talk about the Winter Nights thing, right? We talked earlier about how the Swedes had their three major holy tides that were publicly held at Uppsala, in old Uppsala, Sweden. So all three, including Winter Nights, was a public affair. Their Alfablot was a private thing. So you had the publicly accessible celebration of Winter Nights that all could come to and all would come to. And then you had their Alfablot that was kept separate. Now, similarly, in Norway and Icelandic Winter Nights, it was done at the homestead with family and close friends only. We kind of, my tribe, and I say we, you know, this is kind of the model that we follow, right? We hold our Winter Nights, but we close it off to just the tribe or the close friends to the tribe that we want to invite. It's an invite only sort of thing. Whereas, I mean, right now our tribe is really relatively small, so only the only invites that, you know, the only events that we have are, you know, invite only. But as and when and as the tribe grows and we want to host things bigger or publicly, we might consider doing stuff like that. But we're always going to have our close, you know, invite only, tribe only affairs and things that we do. All right. And maybe that's what you guys decide to do too, as you educate and as you grow and as you find kind of where you want your traditions to land in, is maybe it's something similar to that, you know, or maybe you want to host a big thing and you want to invite everybody that can attend to come, and you want to make it a more public gathering, a more public affair. Clearly it's documented that some regions did that, you know, so you're not like, if you want to be technical, like, you're not historically wrong about it. Just some things to keep in mind, right? All right. Now let's see here. There was one thing that I was going to pull up here. Let me find that real quick. Sorry, I had to pull up some other information that I thought I had readily available. But here we go. So the first thing I'm going to show you, I do remember that we talked earlier about the skaldic poem, the what was it? The Astrafarafisir, skaldic poem. I'm going to come to that, but I do want to just mention briefly the Ynglinga saga. I believe it's chapter 8 here. Yeah, from the year 1225. So in that chapter of the Ynglinga saga, this is specific to the Swedes now, lists three great bloats of the year. And it says there that Odin established the same law in his land that had been in force in Ossaland. On winter day, first day of winter, there should be bloat for a good year. And in the middle of winter, for a good crop. And the third bloat should be on summer day, a victory bloat. So those of Swedish heritage would celebrate their winter nights as a bloat for a good year. And again, that kind of makes sense, because it implies that therefore the Swedes saw the winter nights as the start of their new year. Another saga of Saint Olaf mentions that as long as heathendom lasted, he was wont to hold three blood offerings, talking about the king. One on winter nights, the second at midwinter, and the third at the start of summer. But when he became a Christian, he kept up in the same way with the feasts. In the autumn, he had a great feast of friends. Then in winter, a Yule feast, when he bade many men come to him again. Third, he had at Pascha, when he had also a great crowd of guests. Again, that's referring to summertime celebration, okay? Let's see here. The next one I think we're going to look at. Yes, so the next one we're going to look at is the one of my favorite passages, the Gisla Saga Sursonar. So, is that the one I'm talking about? Yeah. All right. So this is also Ynglinga Saga, but we've got, let's see here. Yeah. So they made clear that there were three major bloats held at the Uppsala, Old Uppsala in Sweden. But the Norwegian Winter Nights is done at the homestead, not at Swedish Uppsala. Note that the word Veternotum was used in Norway per the Gisla Saga, Sursonar, Saga of Gisla the Outlaw. And this saga clearly makes a statement that a Haustbloat is, or Haustbloat is another name for Winter Nights. So Gisla Saga Sursonar, Chapter 6 says that, and now the summer slips away, and the first winter night was nigh at hand. Gisli made a stumble and bade his friends to it he wished to have a gathering, and so to welcome it both the winter and his friends. But he had left off all heathen bloats since he had been in Viborg with Sighard. He bade to the feast both the Thorkels and his cousins, the sons of Bjartmar, so that the day that the guests were looked for, Gisli made ready his house. And I particularly love the passage because, again, it shows that the family and close friends were invited to the holy day bloat and stumble that he held. And by the way, what I'm showing you guys and what I'm sharing here, I'm reading it verbatim a lot of times, but I'm reading this from aldsadu.com. It's going to be a link in the description and show notes for you guys to read yourselves. So when I say I particularly love this, while I do, I'm not saying that I wrote any of this. This is all the work of Robert Sass, aldsadu.com, so full credit goes to him. But again, we kind of follow that familial only connection model of our winter nights. And we don't call it house bloat, you know, but it has been called that, obviously. So if you were to call anything house bloat by the authentic historical terminology, then you would do so to describe your winter nights bloat, right? Your winter night celebration, because again, it's on the full moon of the Haustmonadr. So Haustmonadr, harvest moon, harvest bloat, Haust bloat. That's when it was done. That's how it was, referred to as. So there's your historical backing for that. All right. So the next thing that I'm going to cover with you guys, or one of the last things that we're going to cover, is what we mentioned earlier about Swedish Alfablot and how you might see that name come up this time of year, and how it might also get misunderstood or misconstrued that it was a major holy tide, that all heathens should be practicing a bloat or do an offering or something like that for this time of the year, and that, like, you know, Alpha Bloat is somehow like the heathen Halloween or some crazy thing like that, right? No. So anyway, here's what we're going to talk about with regards to that. So Alpha Bloat was done by families in the homestead, Swedish specifically, and it was excluding non-family members. In historical sources, there is only one mention of Alfablot in a Swedish or as a Swedish holiday. Okay, so the skaldic poem Ástrafaravísir mentions that in early winter of the year 1018, there was a Norwegian Christian poet named Sighvatr. So he traveled to Sweden and claims that he was refused hospitality due to the Swedish Alfablot taking place. Every home that he went to looking for shelter, he was turned away and told to leave. So Ástrafaravísir makes clear that the Swedish Alfablot was done by individual heathen families, not a big public affair. So in that poem, verses 1 through 6, after an arduous journey, Sighvatr and his companions arrived at a homestead called Hof. They expected to be received as per the laws of hospitality, but the door remained shut. Sigvatr had to stick his nose down into a narrow opening in a front door to present himself, but the people of the household declined by saying that the place was holy. Sigvatr retorted that the trolls should take them and continue to the next homestead. At the following farm, he met a lady who told him to go away and said, "Don't go further inside, unlucky man. We are afraid of Odin's wrath. We are heathens." Then she chased him away as if he were a wolf and said that they, quote, are having the alpha bloat at the homestead. So again, I'm going to be linking all of that down in the description or show notes for you guys to read more of if you want. But I love that example of clearly there were times, because one of the big challenges that I think a lot of us have when we talk about knowing how things were done, right, in ancient times, right, we're always saying, well, we don't have any source material. There's nothing really that says how things were done. Here we clearly have a skaldic poem written by, although he was a Christian, he's documenting his whole experience of what happened. You know, the laws of hospitality say that I should be let in. Yeah, well, when they're doing their family gathering and when they're having their holy night, that is very, very off, you know, no access. you're not welcome here. The hospitality laws are obsolete at this point. We are observing our holy night. We are doing what we're doing as a family, and I don't care who you are, you're not part of it. Go away. That is very specific and very clear. That shows that while we don't have many examples of that in surviving texts, here's one of them. So if we hear about one person doing this, and clearly, or not just one person, but if we have someone documenting this down, one person documenting this down, that every home they went to in that area was behaving this way, then we can safely assume that this was not just something isolated to one or two families. This was a custom. This was a way that people believed and did their thing, or at least one of their things. You know, so if we want to keep things private, if we want to keep things off limits, if we want to keep people excluded from our practices, I know that word gets some people's feathers in a tussle, you know, talking about heathenry being exclusionary, right? Or exclusive, right? Well, we want to be inclusive. We don't want to be exclusive. We want to be inclusive, you know? Well, clearly here's an example of when there were times and it was appropriate to be excluded, you know, for those specific reasons, right? These were families that were heathen. And here comes this stranger, who at any other point in time might have received hospitality, right? At least been given, you know, dry clothes, a warm place to sleep, food in their belly, whatever. But under these circumstances, under these very specific circumstances, he was excluded. And he was told to go away and, you know, tough luck, Charlie, but you're on your own because we are holding our alpha bloat and this is for us. And we're not going to break that tradition. We're not going to stop what we're doing just to give you, you know, a warm place to lay your head and some food, you know, which is crazy. You know, if you think about it, like, this was Sweden in the beginning of winter. It's probably bitterly cold, maybe snow on the ground already. You know, if you look at pictures of Sweden this time of year, you know, you'll see snow on the ground. You know, so there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, this was a time of year where if you had to find shelter, then your life depended on it. You know, and here we have again example of somebody who was denied hospitality because they were invading the sanctity, the sovereignty of these families' homes, and we're not gonna bend on that. We're not gonna budge on that. So, well, I don't think that this should be something that we definitively say, you know, here's reasons why we have to be, exclude people from our practices. What I think it needs to be a testament to, right, is that there are definitely times when if we have an event, if we want to do something and we want to keep it exclusive to certain people, then we are 100% in line with some of these old ways practices, right? Just because you have, you know, 50 different friends or acquaintances on your social media friends list, you know, that all wear Mjolnirs or that all, you know, are heathen, you know, that doesn't mean that you owe them any sort of invitation or whatever to an event that you want to hold. Protect your inner above all, right? Protect your inner guard, protect your inner yard, protect your the roof tree of your house, of your hearth. You know, that is where your true obligations lie. And so that's kind of the model that my tribe has adopted, is that, you know, we keep things closed off and protected from the outer. We had one time, and this is before the tribe ever was formed. There was one time that I had a big Yule celebration. I had like 30 some odd people at my house, some of whom I've never met before, most of whom I'd only met online. You know, invited all these people over to my house. And, you know, my wife and I, we live in a small place, you know, and there was way too many people here. you know, I had things stolen from me. There was a lot of misbehaving going on, you know, partly on myself, but a lot of other people too. I mean, it was a terrible, I guess people had fun, you know, and it was, you know, looking back on it, like nobody got severely hurt, but the lesson that was learned is this isn't something, first of all, that you just open up to anybody and everybody without realizing the potential for things to go wrong. And I didn't safeguard my inner guard very well that first year. You know, it was a lesson learned, and it was a lesson learned kind of the hard way. Don't think that just because you've got a bunch of heathen friends that now you owe them or anybody else this invitation to an event or something that you're holding. You know, if you have the means and you have the resources to do it well, do it safely, keep your inner protected and guarded well, then sure, rock on with it. But keep in mind that you are absolutely within your right, and if anything, you are obligated to your nearest and dearest to be exclusive and exclude certain ones from certain things. It's totally fine. So there you guys go. There's kind of an introduction to the Heathen Winter Nights, the historical Heathen Winter Nights. There's going to be, again, some information linked down below for you to research yourselves or to look up yourselves. And again, I want to give due credit to Robert Sass, eltsedu.com, for the information, some of the screenshots of things from his website there that were up on screen for you guys that are watching. And for, again, everybody listening, if you want to read more yourself, things will be linked down in the show notes. And you guys can check it all out there yourselves at your convenience, at your leisure, maybe during winter nights yourselves. Maybe you guys have something going on this weekend here in just a couple of days. You know, like I said, by the time you're watching and listening to this, it will be, you know, for my patrons and for those on the audio platforms, we'll be two nights away from winter nights. And you know, you look up at the sky and you see that moon, she's getting brighter and brighter as we approach. So, I do hope that you guys found this information, you know, useful and beneficial. And I hope that it helps you guys in your pursuit of, you know, trying to do things, if you're interested in doing things as authentically as possible or as historically accurate as possible. I would just say, you know, like don't get, and I'm not trying to tell you how to do your thing or whatever, but be watchful, right? Be on your guard about getting too root bound into certain things. Like, realize that there was purpose behind the way these people did these things. All of the stuff that I'm reading, the source materials, you know, there was purpose why it was done a certain way. And if the purpose behind what you're doing doesn't align with the purpose that it was done in that way, shift a bit, right? Figure out why that is. And make it purpose-driven. Make what you're doing to be purpose, that there's purpose behind it, you know? So whether you decide to not celebrate Winter Nights at all, or whether you decide that your Winter Nights is going to be a closed-off family-only thing, kind of like how the Alpha Bloat was held, right? And that's the other thing, too, is I don't want to get the two confused, right? Alpha Bloat is not another name for Winter Nights. House to Bloat is another name for Winter Nights. Alpha Bloat was something that was done at the beginning of winter by the Swedes. So, you know, whether it lined up the same time, you know, right exactly around the same time as their public Winter Nights, I would tend to think probably not. It almost makes me think, and there's, again, there's no, I don't think there's anything in the sources here that can definitively say this, but it almost makes me think, like, since it was a 3-night long celebration, that you probably had one night that was for the public assembly, the big to do, right, where everybody came and it was a public gathering at Old Uppsala, the temple in Uppsala, Sweden. And then you had two more nights, and on one of those nights, you probably had the family sorts of things going on. That's what I think of when I read that. Can't say that it's definitively mentioned there, but something to ponder on, right? But so anyways, whether you want to do it with an Alpha Bloat celebration, or whether you want to do a Disa Bloat like the Icelanders did, or whatever, you know, I hope that the information shared here today helps, you know, fuel what you want to pursue, and that what you do and what you pursue is with purpose. And so, that about wraps it up for me this week. I'm going to be looking forward on getting ready for the Hlorithi Folk Winter Night celebration this year, with our friends and families. And we're going to be having a sumble, you know, where we remember our ancestors. We're going to invite our ancestors into our celebration this year. So it's going to be really, 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 I think, wholesome time where, all involved will get exposed to some really good things. And that's my hope and that's my goal. So if you are observing Winter Nights, please down in the comments, if you're watching this or if you're listening to this and you want to write into the podcast and share your thoughts of what you're doing for Winter Nights or how you're celebrating, I'd be eager to hear what you have to say. There's going to be a poll or a Q&A. Here on the Spotify platform. So if you're listening to this on Spotify, feel free to chime in with your thoughts. But if you're going to write in, you can do so. MidgardMusingsTN@gmail.com. You can call into the podcast hotline and leave your thoughts there on a voicemail. That phone number is 615-671-9832. And yeah, so I do hope that if you are observing Winter Nights this year, that you have a blessed one, that you're hearth fires burn bright, that your ancestors smile upon you. So until we see each other again, may the gods continue to notice you, and may your ancestors smile upon you. See you in the next one, guys. Thanks for your support.